Welcome back. You're listening to Horizons on Radio Kerry. Frances Rowland, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons. I need to hear how the Pastoral Leaders course is going.
Actually, Mary, it's going really well. We were together there Saturday week ago. Gosh, to have 26 people in the room who are excited, who are delighted to be involved in formation, who have energy and enthusiasm and ideas of how best to serve in their parishes. What a gift.
It's fantastic. What point are they at in the course?
So in all, I suppose, Mary, we saw this as a formation programme over 2.5 years. So the first 6 months really was about having the chance, first of all, to grow their own faith and to grow their own knowledge. And then to discern, OK, have I got the space really in my life at this time? Have I the interest? Have I maybe just the desire to make this a priority in my life? So that was the first 6 months. Then all of last year, people were doing two things. They were getting to know their parishes a little bit better, and they were involved in a pastoral placement there before Christmas. So people did lots of different things. So some were involved, like in the mission in Listowel, people were involved in the Jubilee back in Spaw, some people got involved in pre-sacramental work, baptism teams, working with children. So there was a great variety of things that people are interested in. And that was just before Christmas. And now this year, we've our last full year of both study and pastoral placements. So at the moment, they're studying Christian spirituality for ministry. So there's great enjoyment in kind of reflecting on who is the God who calls us to serve. What is it about Jesus' life that invites us to reflect on how we want to be when we are with other people and how we want to be as church?
So you said they're doing the study, and they also are facing another practical project in their parish. When does that begin?
So that's already begun, not in the parish side yet. I think sometimes when we see things happening in parish, we forget that there's a whole lot of work that gets done prior to that. Our group are presently being Garda vetted. They are training as ministers of the Eucharist, and they're also doing their safeguarding training for working with vulnerable adults and young people. Once that is in place, they're going to move into the pastoral areas, and they're doing it slightly differently in each of the pastoral areas. They will be working alongside those who are candidates for the diaconate, and together they're going to visit or bring communion, depending on how it works best, or pray with people in care facilities, in daycare centres, or perhaps also in people's homes. Each parish and each pastoral area will do it slightly differently because the needs are slightly different in each place.
Fantastic work and wonderful commitment. How closely do they work with the parish councils?
Some of them are already on their parish pastoral councils, Mary. I suppose at the moment they're just moving in to get to know the parish pastoral council and the area pastoral council. Last term, I suppose what we were looking at is beginning to know the clergy in their own pastoral area and in their own parishes better, and also the key people who were working in the area that they had chosen to explore. Now they're moving into another area. So some of them will be working alongside the groups of Eucharistic ministers who go to care facilities or community hospitals, etc. In some places, maybe this work has only been done by the priest to date. So now it's exploring and seeing a little bit more of the ministry of the priest, and then where they might be able to support and work alongside, and ultimately really gather others to work alongside. And I suppose I'm really excited about this piece of the work, because I think we all know, maybe our parents or our grandparents, people of great faith, people maybe when they retired were daily mass goers, or very definitely weekly mass goers. And people who really appreciate the Eucharist and really for whom it was really the nourishment for their lives. I think it's lovely when I see us as a community reaching out, just because people can't come to church anymore on a Sunday or during the week, that there's a reaching out, there's a stretching out, there's a saying, we haven't forgotten you. You're still part of our community. We want to spend time with you. We want to connect with you. And we want to still be in relationship with you. So I think that's a real gift. And I suppose some of our group come with enormous skills in terms of, we have people who've worked in nursing, people who've worked in care. They already have a great facility and a great care. But I think all of us maybe, you know, if you think of your own parents, your grandparents, maybe elderly neighbours and friends, you just want them to have the best and the richest experience of life at this stage of their lives.
All of this training and work within the community is coming at a great time because of the consultation process and the reduced numbers of priests. How do you see the two things marrying together?
Well, I suppose what we're looking at in the consultation process is what will the diocese look like into the future? Not so much what kind of roles will people take, that's part of it, but looking at each of our parishes and saying, okay, how will it function? How will it be what it's called to be? And I suppose if I think of my own parish in Killarney, there are so many people who are involved in so many different things. But maybe there's a real sense of where you depend on somebody else to do the thinking of what's this going to look like in 6 months or how do we plan forward?
And sometimes now, you're just existing and you're not really planning.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just existing. You're going from day to day, no more than in any of our lives. So for me, the planning process invites all of us, one, to think about, okay, the church as we've known it and as we've grown up in it is going to be different. Am I going to be part of the conversation that's looking at how will it be different and how will it still serve and minister to people? And I think one of the pieces of Bishop Ray's pastoral that I really liked was where he said, you know, can you think of the people in your own parish or pastoral area who are enabling, you know, the life of the parish to live? And then his question, and could you or somebody in your family take a role? So there's a kind of an openness to, gosh, maybe there are lots of skills, and we know that there are lots of skills, lots of abilities out there, lots of wisdom, and people maybe who've a bit of time or a bit of energy around something. And all of us bringing that together would just bring so much more life and light to our communities.
Francis Rowland, thanks for updating us on the pastoral leaders training, and we hope to hear from you soon again.
You will indeed. Thanks, Mary.
Van Morrison, Dweller on the Threshold.
Oh, Dweller on the Threshold, and I'm waiting at the door, and I'm standing in the darkness. I don't want to wait no more. I have seen without perceiving.
Martin Kennedy, you're facilitating our planning process, moving forward with hope, strengthening lay involvement. Tell us about the webinar tomorrow night that we're all invited to. Who's taking part?
Good to talk to you again. So we have a young woman from Austria, Alina, and she'll be talking about her experience. She's a lay pastoral assistant in two parishes. There aren't resident priests there, so she liaises with people on the ground and with priests who are working across a pastoral area. So we'll be hearing her story. And then we have another woman speaking to us from Liverpool, Pauline, and they've taken a different direction. While in Austria, each parish has held on to its own identity. In Liverpool, they've gone another way. They've amalgamated eight parishes into one. They have one team now looking after what had been eight parishes, which is now one parish, and that's lay people and priests. And then at local church level, there's a number of churches within that new parish and lay people are playing a very strong role, particularly in regard to the liturgy. So we'll be hearing those stories and there'll be an opportunity for people to ask questions and find out more. You know, it'll be a useful way of sparking our thoughts about our own parishes.
So we've had Jessie Rogers and hers was a very spiritual kind of talk and the base very much in scriptures. This is going to be examples of what is happening in other areas, Martin. Am I right in saying
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. It'll be quite practically focused. Like Pauline in Liverpool now, they've been on this question for the last 25 years, like the shortage of priests has hit them much earlier than it has us. So she'd be able to give, you know, very concrete examples of what it's like, and, you know, things that have worked well and things where they're struggling. And similarly, Alina, they have a story to tell, you know, which I think would be of interest to an Irish audience.
In Kerry Diocese, at the moment, we do have parish councils and finance committees, liturgy groups. Are we talking about taking this to a much higher level?
Well, yes, I think Bishop Bray was very anxious to affirm all the work that has already been done, not as if we're starting from scratch. There's been huge development down the last couple of decades in terms of lay involvement. There's a programme running currently where 26 people are in training to be pastoral assistants on a voluntary basis in their parishes. And there's a whole load of structures, everything from pastoral councils, liturgy groups, child protection committees and so on are already in place. Yes, that work will have to be further developed because the norm in the past has been that there is a resident priest. There's 15 parishes now without one and there's going to be more in the future. So that has to be looked at. We'll also have at the webinar Father Gerry O'Hanlon. He's an Irish Jesuit who's been involved in the national synodal context. And he'll be talking a bit about where this whole synod question is going globally and what kinds of possibilities or opportunities it could open up for much more significant lay involvement. Yeah, we'll be looking at how to grow lay involvement as a good in itself, you know, based on that we're all equal as baptized members of the church.
Martin, sometimes when people are talking about a synodality in the church, you and I have been involved in community work and youth work for many years now. Certainly, I can say from a youth work perspective, our style was always what they would call now the synodality style. It was always about working in groups, listening, yes, and trying to work on the needs. The church now is talking about synodality as if nobody has ever use that method, yes, but we've been trying to use it the whole way along, but there's been blocks. Do you not find that frustrating?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You're absolutely right there. And Pope Francis himself, like, would have been going back decades ago in Latin America, would have been part of that on-the-ground community development process. Thank God at least now it's coming to the fore. Our church has been so hierarchically kind of fixed, and the clerical system has been so strong for so long that it was a very difficult space to open up a different way of working, you know, a shared way of working
We're being shown pictures of people sitting in circles and talking. And it's like, oh, synodality. It's like this magic thing when this is the way we've been working the whole time. But there's been a block at moving what people are saying.
Yes. A bit ironic, really. But one of the things I think that's helping the unblocking of that is precisely the fall off in vocations. That whatever chance we have of creating a more participative church, while there are fewer clergy, we had very little chance, you know, when the church was chock full of priests. And I don't mean that in any, in a derogatory sense about the priests. I mean, they've given their lives to that vocation. But the strength of the clerical system was such that it effectively blocked really meaningful participation of lay people. And thank God that's stopping now. It has to stop anyway because the priests aren't there anymore. But even if they were, it should have stopped anyway. To go back a few hundred years and there was hardly any nuns in Ireland then, you know, and then in the 19th century the numbers exploded and continued to grow right up to the 1960s. And similarly with clergy. It's just in the last 50 years that has slowed down and in more recent years has gone over a cliff.
Thank you very much, Martin Kennedy. We'll see you at the webinar tomorrow night. Everybody is welcome to register for this webinar. Tomorrow night at 7:30, go to our website, register, and get the Zoom link. After the break, I head for Asti.